things are not going the way that we want or the way we think they should. Because of our relationship with God, we, though, can have a confidence in our eternal destiny and our daily activities as God leads us and directs us in every step of the way. So you can follow along as I read. I'm going to go ahead and read all 14 verses to start of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Let's pause for prayer. Lord, we do thank you that we can wait for you and you will work. Lord, we thank you that you are a refuge. We thank you that you are our salvation for us. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you have done for us. And Lord, the way we know who you are is by seeking your face. So as we look into this psalm, may we, along with David, see the importance of seeking your face. Lord, we ask that you would encourage our hearts this evening. In Christ's name, amen. So as believers, we have privileges from God, we have protection from God, and we have promises from God. So if you wanted your three main points, there they are already. I kind of gave them to you ahead of time, but we'll hit them as we go down. We should not take any of these for granted, but understand that he is at work in all areas of our lives at all times. And so first of all, in verses 1 through 6, God gives us privileges. He gives us privileges. Walking along the road of life with God directing our steps is something that gives us great comfort. There are many privileges that come along in life that is the one that is submitted to the leading of the Lord. We see in verse 1, we have the privilege of rescue, We see the Lord is our light. Walking in darkness can be scary. Have you walked through a room that is dark? There's a couple of my kids that have rooms that I don't want to walk through when it's dark. Because there's, without fail, something on the floor that's going to easily stumble us. And it's one of my big things, you know. In the middle of the night, if I have to rush in and rescue you, you better make sure there's nothing on the floor. Because if I'm on the ground, you have to rescue me then. You'll probably wake up from the noise of my hitting the ground. But we think of walking in darkness and how scary that could be. The world in which we live seems to be getting darker and darker. Obviously, sin is running rampant. As the Lord is our light, we can have confidence. There's no need to fear. There is nobody to dread. Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Of course, as we think of the description of God being light, probably it reminds us all of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And so we see the Lord is our light. Next, the Lord is our salvation. While it's true that the Lord provides salvation through Jesus Christ, this passage is referring more to the idea of deliverance from our enemies. Of course, that's often the case with David in the Psalms as he's talking and writing and pouring out his heart. That salvation that he mentions is typically about deliverance from his enemies. This is evident when David asks a rhetorical question of whom shall I fear or of whom shall I dread? Of course, the answer is nobody. And so the Lord is our light, our salvation, and then third, the Lord is our defense. The Lord is the protection that we need. He is not just our strength at certain times, but all throughout life. He's a place of safety for us. He is our hiding place. The place of safety, really, for many children, you think of, is to stand behind their parents. Have you ever witnessed that, a small child who's kind of scared, maybe just nervous? Where do they stand? They stand behind their parents. You know, some may criticize and say that religion or God is a crutch, while in reality, and I think I've shared this before, for those of us who understand who God is and who we are, God is not a crutch. He's the entire hospital. We need everything about him. We don't need him just as a little crush. We need all that he has to offer because we are so weak. Notice the verse does not say that God gives light, salvation, or defense, but he is those things. That's why I was trying to point that out as we went down through. The Lord is our light. He is our salvation. He is our defense. Montgomery Boyce says this, "Light speaks of spiritual understanding. Salvation points to the greatest of all deliverances, namely deliverance from sin by the death of Jesus Christ. Stronghold refers to that spiritual refuge from the pains and buffetings of life, which God himself is for his people." And we see in verses 2 and 3, we have the privilege of reassurance. The privilege of reassurance. We have enemies that want to destroy us. Spurgeon says this, "It is a hopeful sign for us when the wicked hate us. If our foes were godly men, it would be a sore sorrow. But as for the wicked, their hatred is better than their love." When evil men hate us and want to see us fall, then we know that we're living in such a way as to please God. We know that we're doing something right when evil wants to hate us, wants to attack us. So we always need to consider the source of the criticism or the attacks. The Lord can stop every one of our enemies if he so chooses. At times in our lives, we all have to deal with enemies of some sort. For most of us, we'd probably say it's pretty minimal. But it's very reassuring knowing the Lord is in control. Maybe we should make sure to keep with the prayer of John Wesley. He says this, "Lord, if I must contend, let it not be with thy people." Let's not squabble with the people of God, but if there's enemies of yours that are coming at me, then so be it. May I have to contend with them. We can stand fast against our enemies with the Lord. Where there is no confidence in God, there will be no continuance with God. We won't continue on with our walk with God if we're not confident in who He is. If we're not confident of who God is and what He is like, we'll not have any desire to walk with Him. So many people don't want anything to do with God because they have believed the misconceptions of what He is really like. They don't understand the God of the Bible. And they need to. As we get to learn about Him, as we get to learn the Bible and what it says about God, He will transform our lives and cause us to continue in our walk with Him, having a great confidence in Him. David says, no matter what comes his way, he'll be okay. God's on his side. He's fine. The confidence that he has goes back to verse 1. It is in light, salvation, and defense that is God. That's why he has that confidence. Then we see verses 4 and 5. We have the privilege of a relationship. The privilege of a relationship. One main desire must be the Lord. That's who we desire. The desire for our life should be to grow in that relationship with Him. David says that he will seek after that relationship. Now, this is not simply hoping that it will happen. He's saying seeking. This is talking an effort that he is putting in. It implies an aggressive pursuit of God. David wanted to dwell with God or spend time with Him. He wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. This would entail considering His wonderful characteristics and attributes. The word beauty here could also be translated as grace. It would be a beneficial exercise for our hearts to behold the grace of the Lord. The NET Bible translation says, so I can gaze at the splendor of the Lord. In our everyday life, we run really from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and typically don't take the time to gaze at the splendor of the Lord. David wanted to meditate in God's temple. Of course, the temple that we would think of was not actually built by David. It didn't come until years later under Solomon. At the point David's writing, he's thinking more specifically about the tabernacle that was thought of being the place where God dwelt. David's point was that he wanted to be with God. He wanted to seek God's face. He wanted to meditate on God. God's desire is to protect us. We see that in verse 5. From the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. That idea of protection. He will hide me. Protection. David says, in the day of trouble, the Lord will be the one to conceal him. He anticipates the Lord's continually watching over him and protecting him. The Lord will hide him from the dangers in life. He'll establish David on a rock. Obviously, speaking of stability, there's no greater stability for us to have in this life than to know of God's continued abiding presence. We know He is always there taking care of us. And then we see in verse 6, we have the privilege of rejoicing. The privilege of rejoicing. We rejoice because of what God has done. God gives victory over our enemies, and for that, we rejoice. Sometimes we may be able to physically see our enemies, but many times our number one enemy is our sinful heart. That's the enemy that we're all faced with. God gives us victory over our sin tendencies as we seek His face. We rejoice in God by joyously singing. David says that he will offer shouts of joy. Does it seem like he's whispering? No, he's excited about this. He wants everybody to know. He's not afraid to rejoice in his God and allow everyone to hear about it. He was not ashamed of God. One way we can praise God is singing praises to Him. And we see in verses 7 through 12, God gives us protection. God gives us protection. David knew well that there were ones that he trusted at one point in his life that he could no longer trust. He knew that friends and family could easily be fickle and turn their back on him. But that would never be the case with the Lord. He would always be there. He would always be available to give that protection. In verses 7 through 10, we see that we have protection because God realizes our need. He realizes what is taking place. God always hears the prayers of his children. So David went from praising God in the previous verse to here crying out for his help. He's looking for acceptance. We all have that desire to fit in, be accepted by those around us. But many times, that means compromising truths. David was not being accepted, but rather being rejected by others. He just put his confidence in God and realized that God was there to accept him. We all have that desire. We all want that. When we realize that we have nothing to offer, then we are fully accepted by God because of the righteousness of Christ in our place. It means being accepted by God. God repeatedly showed his grace to us. You know, we may not answer in a way, or his answer may not come in a way of our timing or the exact way we want it answered, but God always hears when we call out to him. Our greatest request when we seek God's face, when we cry to him, is to plead for his grace in our lives. We need God's grace. We call out to him and we beg his grace. God wants us to seek his face. We see here an attitude of readiness and submission in turning to God and learning of him. David had an eagerness to know God. God's desires for us to know him better. He has nothing to hide, and the better we get to know him, the more we're going to love and respect him. The greater we understand who he is, the greater we will trust him during difficult times. We can have confidence that God will not turn his back on us. David is pleading with God to be merciful to him, acknowledging that he needs God's help. He's not asking in a doubting way, doubting of God's mercy, because he knows God's character. He's crying out to the Lord with a confidence that the Lord will always be good to him. Others will let you down, but the Lord never will. You see that there, verse 10, David says, "My father and my mother have forsaken me." Even when those who we most likely trust to be there for us, like our parents, even when they fail us, God is still there. David says the Lord will take him up. This is the idea of receiving him. He knows that even if all others reject him, God will receive him. And then in verses 11 and 12, we see we have protection because God recognizes our foes. He recognizes those that are coming after us, those that are the stumbling blocks in our way. He recognizes every single thing. We need to be taught the way of the Lord. The Lord has so much to teach us, but we need to be willing to learn those truths. Of course, at the end of the verse, the context reveals that David is concerned about his enemies, his foes. He understood that a huge part of the battle against his foes takes place in his own heart and being taught by the Lord how to handle it. So much of our issues in relationships, whether we would call them enemies, acquaintances, or even friends, so much of our issue there is in our own heart. He's not asking the Lord to teach him how to strategize for a battle or how to wield his sword. The enemy is real, and we need the Lord to teach us how to make wise decisions and trust his care and guidance. And he's saying, "Lord, teach me, help me to know how to trust you." God knows all of the evil words used against us. David is asking here for God to provide him with deliverance from his enemies. Spurgeon again says this, "Slander is an old-fashioned weapon out of the armory of hell and is still in plentiful use. And no matter how holy a man may be, there will be some who will defame him. It is their vital breath to hate the good." Have we seen any of that in our culture lately? It sounds very Spurgeon, basically letting us know this happens all ages. It's not like it's just with our current situations. The description of enemies that breathe out violence, right, may kind of remind us of Acts 9:1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. So even if our enemies are breathing out violence, can God change them? He did it with Saul. And so obviously he can do it with anybody. He can change their hearts. And so we pray that God draws them to himself in salvation. And then in verses 13 and 14, God gives us promises. He gives us promises. David ends a psalm with the reason that he does not despair. We may say that he here offers the antidote to despair. First of all, verse 13, we have the promise of relief. Of relief. The hope of God's deliverance can carry us through so many trials. Now here, most English translations supply some words to help smooth out the Hebrew, which seems to be a little kind of incomplete almost. The NAS, which I have, says, I would have despaired. The King James adds, I had fainted. David is basically stating the condition he would be in if he did not fully trust in the promise of his being in the land of the living. Now, that phrase, the land of the living, is used many times in the Old Testament. It refers to right now living on the earth. And so David is confident in God's physical deliverance from his current situation from his enemies. He knew of God's goodness, and he knew that God would deliver him. If he did not have that confidence, he's basically saying, I would have despaired. If I didn't have confidence in God, I would have despaired looking at my life and what's going on. While we may not have the confidence that God will provide physical deliverance, for whatever that may be for us right now, we do have the promise of deliverance from this earth and to be with him for eternity. And so the deliverance that we're thinking of might be a little different than specifically what David is thinking of, but we know we have an ultimate deliverance because God has provided salvation through Christ. We may have times in which, based on the circumstances around us, we're ready for despair. We're basically there. But we can confidently say with David that we see the goodness of God. We will see him work out our every situation for our good and for his glory. Whether that is deliverance through the trial or deliverance from the trial. And that deliverance from the trial can take different forms, and sometimes it's simply him taking us home to heaven with him. We must keep our focus on the goodness of the Lord. And then finally in verse 14, we have the promise that God is reliable. God is reliable. We must wait for the Lord to act on our behalf. That word wait is that idea of relying. David says that we're to rely on the Lord rather than ourselves. How often is that the struggle? We think we have the strength. We have what it takes. No, we rely on the Lord. When we are in the midst of a difficult situation, the temptation is to take hold of what is going on and to force the solution that we want to see. But we need to be patient and wait and rely on God to work things out in his timing. The encouragement to be strong encourages us to rely on God's strength. And as we rely on his strength, he gives us courage. Notice that David mentions courage for our heart, not for our physical body. He's saying, that's where I need the courage. It's not so I can go out and fight against my foe. He's like, I need the courage in my heart. Lord, work in my heart. Help my heart. A privilege from God is one that can never be taken away. Protection from God can never be overcome, and a promise from God can never be broken. What a great God we have. Andrew Murray said this, "Be assured that if God waits longer than you could wish, it is only to make the blessing doubly precious. God waited 4,000 years till the fullness of time ere he sent his son. Our times are in his hands. He will avenge his elect speedily. He will make haste for our help and not delay 1 hour too long." He's doing it in his timing, and we can be confident of that. So as we await the return of Jesus, may we seek his face. That's where we're going to get our encouragement and confidence each day. And so are you seeking the Lord's face? Is that where you're getting the encouragement that you need? Are we each seeking the Lord's face? Let's close with prayer. Lord, we do thank you and praise you that you do not hide yourself from us. Lord, that we can reach out to you in prayer, that we can look to your advice in Scripture, and Lord, that you lead us and guide us each day. Lord, we thank you that we can rely on you. Lord, help us to seek your face. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.